and welcome to Bubbly Bibbly, the podcast about books and bubbles, literature and libations, authors and alcohol.
We love books and bubbly. We are friends who offer a curated book review section on our website and a hilarious podcast. We discuss books, drinks, and stories from our lives. I'm Rachel.
And I am Carmen. So, you and I are thinking of starting a TikTok account. I can't even say that without laughing.
We are, and we're going to join Book Talk. I'm kind of excited.
What the fuck is Book Talk?
I don't know.
I've never even heard of Book Talk.
Yeah, it's people who talk about books on Book Talk, on TikTok. Shit. I don't even know.
I'm too fucking old for this. Okay, first, I want to know what our listeners think, because I read somewhere that you need to post between 8 and 10 videos a day. And I may be too old for that shit unless you guys are going to tune the fuck in.
Right? I'm thinking once a day max.
Rachel, we're wasting our time if we do it once a day max.
So
because we're thinking about venturing into TikTok land, I've been thinking about what content I would post. And my friend Deanne called me this weekend and told me to drop everything and get a book called The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot by Marianne Cronin.
Okay, so what did you do?
Well, I fucking dropped everything and went to the library for the book. But that's one thing that I would share, book recommendations on TikTok.
I think that would be
a great topic. But thanks to Deanne, we also have a topic for today's podcast, and that is friendships.
That's a great topic. I'm really excited to explore it. So in this episode, Carmen and I are talking about friendships in books.
Rachel has added some great new Bubbly Bibbly merchandise items to the website. So be sure to visit bubblybibbly.com to check it out and get you some merch.
So we're in Alabama and the temperature is somewhere between oh my gosh and WTF, not to mention humidity. So I decided on a frosé tonight.
What the fuck is a frosé?
I'm glad you asked. It's like such a fun drink. It's frozen strawberries, a little simple syrup, and a bottle of rosé blended up in a blender. Yes, girl, it's so good, so cold. It's amazing.
Okay, can you drink it through a straw or do you need a spoon?
You can do a straw. You got to let it, You can add just a little bit of, the wine really loosens it up. So, what are you drinking?
Kind of like you.
Exactly.
Well, Deanne, I'm going to stick with Deanne. Deanne and I went to the coast one summer and she brought this plan. She's so adorable for a daily drink.
Now, did she bring the glasses and everything? Remember, we had this discussion about that.
That is so funny because Deanne and I had this round and round about glasses because I said to her, I am not packing fucking glasses to take to the coast.
And but you need a good martini glass.
And she said, well, maybe we can go to a thrift shop down there and buy glasses. And I said, I'm not buying glasses. It's so funny you would say that because Deanne and I had this same conversation.
So, I love her, by the way. That's so great.
So she brought this plan for a daily drink complete with recipes and garnishes. And she's such a rascal. She had a floating disc with the theme of the beach week that she put on top of the first drink. She floated it on the first drink.
And
it was completely edible.
Are you kidding me?
It was gross. It was gross, but it was edible.
Who cares?
It's yeah, that's what that is what Deanne said.
It See, just... I'm totally with her. I'm with you, Deanne.
Oh, so in honor of that, this is where I was introduced to Empress 1902 gin. And tonight I'm having an Empress 1902 and tonic. So before we slam Carmen anymore, what are you reading?
So I just finished Sparring Partners by John Grisham. It's three short novellas, and they were so good. They were all really different, but I gotta tell you, the last one sort of left me stunned. Like, I finished reading it, and I was like, what? What just happened?
So did it make really you want good. More, or?
No, like, surprised, like, surprisingly stunned at what had happened.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good.
That's so you really recommend good. It?
I do. It was a quick read. It was really good.
Okay. Well, as I said earlier, I am reading The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot by Marianne Cronin, and I have just started, but it opens with Lenny, who's a teenager with a terminal disease. And Aww. She's going back and forth to the hospital chapel and talking to the chaplain. So I don't really know where it's going to go, and I haven't met Margot, so stay tuned.
I love it, because when we were discussing these topics at one of our business meetings, I remember us talking about doing an episode on friendship. So I'm glad that Deanne gave us a perfect reason to get it on the schedule.
So, speaking of friendships, tell our listeners how you and I came back together after being in the same sorority for 30 years.
Okay, so we were in the sorority, but we were at different times. So we never really...
I'm a little bit older than you.
Just a little. But it makes a big difference in your friend groups. But we were at a party at a friend's house, and we were all there. Sorority girls, everybody, husbands, and we were sitting there talking about books we had been reading and what was on what our book clubs were reading and what we were reading. And I think I was talking to Jenny Bell, and then you chimed in and you were talking about it. And all of a sudden, we were clicking like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
And then you called me the next day. Do you remember what you told me?
Yes.
You said, this gave me such life and joy.
This gave me life, yes.
Yes. I have never had anyone tell me that before, so it, like, made me feel very special. And I don't know, we've been, like, I wouldn't say inseparable, but I would say... we've been together since.
Just so connected. I mean, just really connected over something that you and I both have a deep, deep love for. I knew immediately that we had a future together just based on our shared passion for books and reading. But the more you and I talked and the more excited we both got, did you notice that some of the other people at the party started coming into the room and coming over to us to talk about their book adventures?
We had at least five people in the group talking.
I know.
All of a sudden, and we're all talking about literature.
Yes, yes.
As we're drinking.
And we were all talking books and bubbly.
Exactly. I love friendships that we have as women, because there's such a trust and support that we have. And then there's fun times and memories. And then there's just that respect and love we have for each other. I think mm-hmm. women's friendships, and maybe I'm being biased because I'm a woman, but sometimes I just think, you know, they're better.
We might need to read a few books to get empathy on men's friendships.
We might.
You know, I loosely classify my friends into A, B, and C categories. C are people that I will stop and chat with when I run into them, like at the grocery store at Walmart. But that's really the extent of it. B are friends that I will do things with socially, like dinner, drinks, I'll invite you to my home, things like that. And then the A friends are the very few people that I think of calling when my heart is breaking, I need bail money, I need somebody to be brutally honest, but with love.
Exactly. And I do have to tell you, I know how to bail you out if you get arrested in Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Oh, hell yes.
Just a side note.
What the fuck is in Fayetteville to get me in jail?
I don't know, but I know how to get you out, okay?
Thank you.
There are friends that just pick up where we left off, you know, without mm-hmm. skipping a beat. Because you and I both know life is life. And you realize that there may be times when all you can do is the day-to-day with family and kids and job. So when you really need to connect and you call that person, it's like no time has passed.
Yes. The thing that I've realized through the years is that friendships are really like any other relationship. They take time, care, and cultivation, and not all in the same way. So think about this. Some friends are orchids, and they need a specific care regimen. So right now in my life, I don't have time for orchids. But I still think orchids are beautiful.
Right.
Some friends are like a snake plant, which is a succulent that really seems to thrive on neglect, need only minimal attention, and continue to be stalwart in your life. I am all about snake plant friends right now.
I have to tell you, I'm a killer of plants, okay? And I went to go see Neil a couple of weeks ago, and he's trying to give me cuttings from his plants. He's a plant boy.
Okay.
And he told me to go get a snake plant. And just last week, I went to Home Depot and I have a snake plant. And so when I was reading this, I'm like, oh my God, I might be a snake plant.
That is so freaking hilarious.
I think it's so true. And it was so funny because he's trying to give me all these cuttings. And he's like, here, just take this. I'm like, no, I will kill it, you know.
Here's what you do the next time. You say, okay, Neil, do you mind if I take it to my friend Carmen?
I'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk about some famous fictional friendships. If you like Bubbly Bibbly, please take a moment to follow us. And if you can, give us a great rating wherever you get your podcast. It only takes a minute, and it makes a huge difference to me and Carmen. Thanks, guys.
Now some ground rules. Even though siblings are also friends, like the March sisters, we are not talking about families in this one.
Right. And likewise, if a friendship turns into a romance, we don't delve into that category. That would be a good mm-hmm. topic for couples in literature.
So, you know, even narrowing it down by deleting those two leaves us with tons and tons and tons of examples of very famous friendships.
Okay, so you know what I'm going to start with because everybody sees it coming. But Harry, Hermione, and Ron, their friendships provided love and support and protection for each other. They mm-hmm. are loyal mm-hmm. to a fault to each other. They support each other, and they're not afraid to tell each other the truth. And mm-hmm. Hermione basically helped the boys during the entire time at Hogwarts, academically, of course. And in return, mm-hmm. Ron and Harry showed her that there was more to school than books.
Oh, that was a really good summary of that friendship.
Yeah.
I am going to go back to my childhood with my first pick, Ramona Quimby. Do you remember Ramona?
I do remember Ramona.
Ramona Quimby and Howie Kemp. So from the beloved From the beloved Ramona series by Beverly Cleary, Ramona is just a little imp who is always up to some shenanigans. And Howie is slow to get riled up, and that gets on her last damn nerve.
Exactly.
While she has other friends in the series, she always refers to Howie as her first best friend.
I love that. Well, I'm going to go back to another obvious choice, which is George okay. and Lenny from Of Mice and Men with John Steinbeck. I only have like 8 copies of this book.
I did not see that coming. After I saw Harry Potter coming, but I should have known. Okay, go ahead.
I love George and Lenny. I mean, even though George gets irritated with Lenny, their friendship is the most important thing, and they love it, and they're going to protect their friendship. Lenny treats George with respect, and Lenny will always follow any instruction from George because he makes a lot of mistakes. And mm-hmm. I think Steinbeck really wanted to show the strength that comes when people unite. I mean, both men are changed. They become better, stronger, and more helpful.
Okay, but let me just say for the record that I don't want our friendship to end the way Lenny and George did.
Hello.
Okay, this may be breaking the rules a little bit, but I'm going to go with Calvin and Hobbes.
Love them.
Oh my gosh. Even though Hobbes is actually a stuffed tiger, he does help Calvin in some very real ways as he navigates the waters of growing up. Hobbes helps Calvin deal with disappointment and frustration. He helps him vent these confusing feelings that he has for Susie, which absolutely cracked me up. And he comes up with some very philosophical notions of life. And that makes sense since Hobbes is actually named after a 17th century philosopher named Thomas Hobbes.
He's my favorite graphic novel. We have all their yes. books. So yes. I'm going to go a little bit geeky here, and I'm going to blame John, my husband, and this is going to surprise him and me. But the next friendship I'm going to mention is Frodo and Sam from The Lord of the Rings. Yes, I said it. If every friend was as loyal and caring and as brave as Samwise Gamgee, the world would just be a better place, period. No discussion. They stuck together. They saved one another. It really is one of the best friendships ever written. When Sam tells Frodo, "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." Oh my gosh, crying emoji.
I am kind of regressing back to our listener, Lee, when he wanted to know if you ever read The Hobbit, and now you're making a reference to The Lord of the Rings. So, Rachel, color me impressed.
I did. I know.
Yeah, color me impressed. While it's not fiction, my next one is going to be the absolute beautiful friendship in Mitch Albom's Tuesdays with Maury. And it is a series of visits that Albom made to his former sociology professor, Maury Schwartz, as Schwartz was gradually dying of ALS. It is so beautiful and moving. It's just a wonderful and loving tribute to what must have been a wonderful man. But the way the friendship comes about, it's so by happenstance. Maury is in the later part of his life, and they have this history prior, but then Maury is dying, and Mitch Albom comes, and he talks to him to write his, you know, I guess his autobiography or his last days, or just to capture what those last moments were like. And it turns into this gorgeous friendship of two very different men, very different ages. And I absolutely thought, if you have not read this book, I recommend every Mitch Albom book. But if you haven't read this one in particular, it will make you a better person.
And now that we've covered some literary friendships that you know about, let's take a look at some that you may not know.
Do not forget that I'm giving away two books from my personal library. Now, to have your name in that drawing, share two of our podcast links on social media and tag five different friends in each one. So that's two shares and 10 friends. We'll be drawing at the end of July.
So I recently read Remarkably Bright Creature by Shelby Van Pelt.
Yeah,
remember, Lucy, we kind of laughed about her name too. I fell in love with the friendship of a grumpy giant Pacific octopus named Marcellus and Tova, who worked the night shift at the aquarium. This friendship was so tender and so funny. It is a great read.
I love that. I'm definitely going to read this book. A title from one of our favorite authors who has been on the show with us has one of my most beloved friendships. The title is Astrid and Veronica by Linda Olson. Veronica is 32, and she is a writer whose boyfriend has just drowned in New Zealand. So she rents a house in a very small Swedish village next door to a recluse who is Astrid, and she's 81 years old. So this story brings together two very different women in very different times of their lives, and it is just so beautifully written.
Well, yeah, nothing is bad from Linda Olson.
That is so
true.
She
writes amazing.
Yes.
From The Library of Unwritten by A.J. Hackwith, I love the friendship formed with Claire, the head librarian, her assistant, Brevity, which was like a little fairy, and a nervous demon courier, Leto, and Hero. They all form this really unlikely friendship trying to defend the library from this attack. It's another really great must read.
It really sounds very intriguing. I'm going to go a little off the beaten path again with my next friendship. And this is going to be a well-known title to you listeners because this is my pocketbook book. So this is Irene and Claire in Passing by Nella Larsen. They're both light-skinned Black women in the 1920s, and Irene lives in Harlem as a Black woman, but Claire is married to a rich white man who has no idea she is of mixed race, and he is very, very racist. So this is a friendship that's really stressed. But these women have known each other since they were children, so it's really a beautifully complicated example of female friendship. I really, really loved it.
Awesome. Well, last September, I read Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, and I fell in love with the friendship of Rocky and Ryland Grace, who Ryland, or Grace, as they called him, is the sole survivor of this last chance mission to save Earth. And Rocky is from an alien race that Grace meets in space. It really is a this amazing interstellar journey. But I think Rocky might be my new favorite literary character. He doesn't even speak. The way he talks is in music.
Oh my gosh. This
just might be a must read for me.
So this is, Andy Weir wrote The Martian, didn't he?
Yes.
And this sounds very different from The Martian. The only thing is it's in space.
Yes. Yes. And as John says, he gets a lot more space stuff right with this book. He had a lot of arguments with The Martian.
Just stop right now.
I know.
Oh my
Lord. But we really liked this.
Did you guys read it together?
We did. We read it when we went on our anniversary trip.
Oh, I love that. My next one is going to be Chief Bromden and Randall McMurphy. Those guys are from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey.
This is an interesting choice. I love this.
Well, you know, it's...
I didn't even think about it until this. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Now, Chief has been in the mental hospital longer than anyone else there, and he is half Native American. And Randall gets there because he chooses the mental hospital over a work camp because he thinks it'll be easier. Everyone thinks that Chief is deaf and mute because he absolutely doesn't speak, but he opens up to Randall and they become friends. Now, a psychiatric hospital is not the best place to form friendships, but this one and what they do for one another, oh my gosh, what they battle with together and how they encourage and spur one another on. This one will stay with you long after you read the last page. And let me just tell you, if you have seen the Jack Nicholson movie, which won Oscars, it was marvelous.
Yeah.
Please read the book because it is different. The ending is different. And it is far superior to the movie, which was wonderful. But this is another friendship. They both made it as far as they did because of one another. And I loved that. And the sound of our cheering fans means it's time for listener comments.
We love it when you guys tell us what you're reading. And Amanda is reading The Beautiful Miscellaneous by Dominic Smith. Be sure and let us know how it turns out, Amanda.
We also invited you to take the first sentence from any book. I can't even say this without laughing. And and then add, then dragons appeared. There were some great responses.
Exactly. I know. Randall posted, the cold passed reluctantly from the earth. And the retiring fogs revealed an army stretched out on the hills resting. And then dragons appeared.
Well, catch this one from Jordan, which made me laugh out loud. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then dragons appeared.
Love it.
Thank you for everyone who answered that particular post.
Let us know what your favorite fictional friendships are and start making a list for our topics next time. Fictional couples.
Oh, also drop us a line, email, or recorded comment and tell us about some of your friendships that have been affected because of books and reading, like Rachel and I were. And of course, continue to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and www.bubblybibbly.com.
And remember, Ray Bradbury from Fahrenheit 451 wrote, "We cannot tell the precise moment when friendship is formed. As in filling a vessel drop by drop, there is at last a drop which makes it run over. So in a series of kindnesses, there is at last one which makes the heart run over."